Red Dwarf, Season 4, Episode 6, Meltdown. Cat, Lister, and Rimmer are sitting round a table in the sleeping quarters. Cat and Lister are playing a card game and Rimmer is recalling them with tales of his youth. As the scene opens, we see that Cat and Lister seem to be in some kind of pain.
So there we were at 2:30 in the morning. I was beginning to wish I had never come to cadet training school. To the south lay water, there was no way we could cross that. To the east and west, two armies squeezed us in a pincer. The only way was north. I had to go for it and pray the gods were smiling on me. I picked up the dice and threw 2 sixes. Caldecott couldn't believe it. My go again, another 2 sixes.
Rimmer, what's wrong with you? Don't you realize that no one is even slightly interested in anything you're saying? You've got this major psychological defect which blinds you to the fact that you're boring people to death. How come you can't sense that?
Anyway, I picked up the dice again, and it was unbelievable. Another 2 sixes.
Rimmer.
What?
No one wants to know some stupid story about how you beat your cadet school training officer at risk.
Then, disaster. I threw a 2 and a 3. Caldecott picked up the dice and threw snake eyes. I was still in it.
Cat, can you talk to him?
Cat is sitting with big pieces of cotton wool plugged into his ears. As Lister talks to him, he takes one of the pieces.
What?
Anyway, to cut a long story short, I threw a 5 and a 4 which beat his 3 and a 2, another double 6 followed by a double 4 and a double 5. After he'd thrown a 3 and a 2, I threw a 6 and a 3.
Man, this guy could bore for his country.
What I want to know is how this made. Can you remember what dice you threw at a game you played when you were 17?
I jotted it down in my wrist campaign book. I always used to do that so I could replay my moments of glory over a glass of brandy in the sleeping quarters. I ask you, what better way is there to spend a Saturday night?
You got me.
So a 6 and a 3, and he came back with a 3 and a 2.
Rimmer, can't you tell the story is not gripping me? I'm in a state of non-grippedness. I am completely smacking and gripped. Shut the smack up.
Don't you want to hear the risk story?
That's what I've been saying for the last 15 minutes.
But I thought that was because I hadn't got to the really interesting bit.
What really interesting bit?
Ah well, that was about 2 hours later, after he'd thrown a 3 and a 2 and I'd thrown a 4 and a 1. I picked up the dice.
Hang on, Rimmer, hang on. The really interesting bit is exactly the same as the dull bit.
You don't know what I did with the dice though, do you? For all you know, I could have jammed them up his nostrils, headbutted him on the nose, and they could have blasted out of his ears. That would have been quite interesting.
Okay, Rimmer. What did you do with the dice?
I threw a 5 and a 2.
And that's the really interesting bit?
Well, it was interesting to me. It got me into Irkutsk.
The teleport panel pops Crichton into the room.
Curious.
He pops into a different spot.
Extraordinary. What a truly copacetic piece of machinery.
What is it?
It looks like Crichton cannot remain still for very long, since he keeps moving around.
Well, basically it appears to be a device that converts an individual into digital information and then transmits him as light beams to another point in space. Essentially, it's a matter transporter. It's pretty neat. Ha!
Where do you get it from?
I think it must be a prototype. I found it in the research labs down on Z-Tech. I managed to cobble together the missing circuitry and it appears to be fully functional. Theoretically, it can transport several people at once. So, Lister, would you like to grip a pedal, sir?
Lister stands and grips a pedal.
We'll meet you by the Navicomp in Starbuck.
They both vanish. Rimmer turns to the cat.
Let's go.
Rimmer and Cat get up and head off out the door. We stay focused on the room as a door in the background opens and we hear running water and see steam billowing out the door. A wet Lister and Crichton come out of the shower.
I'm sorry about that, sir. I neglected to engage the depth function.
We'll walk, Crichton. We'll walk.
The gang is sitting round chatting in Starbuck.
So, besides cutting down on shoe leather, what good is it?
Exploration. It can take you anywhere. It can home in on atmosphere-bearing planets within a radius of 500,000 light-years. If there are any life forms in the local systems, this thing will take you straight to them.
So are there any planets with an atmosphere in range?
Well, several according to the paddle's scanners, but the most interesting prospect appears to be 200,000 light-years away. In the normal course of things, it would take Starbuck several billion years to reach it.
It wouldn't be so bad. Rimmer could finish his risk story.
Traveling subspace via the paddle, we would reach it almost instantaneously.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Nobody's rearranging my molecules.
It's perfectly safe, sir, but I do suggest that Mr. Rimmer and I go on ahead as a scout party.
What?
Well, if the atmosphere isn't breathable, we won't be affected. If it is, we can send the paddle back to pick you up.
The thing is, Krygers, I would love to be in the advanced scout party facing all those thrilling unknown dangers with you, fighting a frontier path through a jungle of discovery, but you're forgetting one thing.
No, sir, I've taken your congenital cowardliness into consideration.
I'm a hologram. I can't touch the thing. How could it transport me?
Well, of course, you do have a small physical presence.
Precisely. Holly, would you give me Mr. Rimmer's light key, please?
Wait a minute.
A view of Rimmer, then he wipes out and is gone. Crichton is holding the light key.
Where am I?
This is Rimmer.
Lister gets up, walks over to Crichton, and takes the light key from him.
Yeah, it buzzes around inside him and projects his image.
Lister tosses the light key up in the air and catches it in his mouth, then spits it out and catches it.
My god, that was disgusting!
Please, sir, that's a very sophisticated piece of hardware.
Really? Anyone fancy a game of squash?
Sir.
Lister hands the light key back to Crichton.
Thank you. Now, if all goes well, the paddle will rematerialize here. Simply press this green key and you'll be transported down to the planet, a safe distance from us.
Okay.
Crichton is sent off to a field. There's plenty of green grass, trees in the background, etc. Rimmer appears out of nowhere and staggers, then looks around.
What is this place?
Well, I can't pinpoint our location precisely, but the atmosphere is indeed breathable. I'll return the paddle.
The paddle vanishes.
What? No!
Crichton is looking off camera and up. He looks a little worried.
Well, I suggest we start to run, sir. I suggest we ambulate as fast as the local gravity will allow.
Why?
Because of them, sir.
We see something that looks like a T-Rex with feathers, wings, a bird's head, and all the believability of an old Star Trek monster.
Sir.
We see Crichton looking very worried and Rimmer running full tilt off into the distance. The paddle reappears in Starbuck.
Must be safe, let's go.
They vanish. An old-fashioned room with a chandelier and a big Nazi flag on the wall. There is a large table in the room with a fireplace in the background. There are three people in the room. The table is set up as a war planning map. The people appear to be Hitler and two of his aides.
This will be the final push. Their resources are poor and their will is weak.
Lister and Cat appear in the background.
We can crush them, we can grind them into the dirt, we can chew up their bodies and spit them out as if they are sauerkraut.
Lister is trying to get the paddle to work but hasn't got the settings right yet. Meanwhile, Hitler has seen him.
Intruders! Seize them!
So long.
Lister and Cat teleport onto the table.
Suckers!
Arrest them! They are dumb!
Get us out of here!
Don't panic me, man. I'm doing my best.
Lister and Cat teleport to a place that is dark and small.
Where are we?
Don't know.
Lister flicks on his lighter.
We're in some kind of narrow stone passageway.
So what do we do?
I can see daylight. I don't know, we could just stand around here I suppose, till we work out where we are.
For a couple of seconds we are in the room with Hitler and all the men in the room are looking at the fireplace in which we see two pairs of legs, Lister's and Cat's, but then they vanish into the chimney.
At least we're out of trouble.
Who were those guys?
Well, the short one with the stupid tash was Hitler, and the jerky one with the child molester glasses was Goebbels. Suppose the fat bastard must have been Goering. Must have been. He was a cocaine addict and a transvestite. I can't remember what he was now. But if things worked out different, he had the makings of a major movie star.
Hands up, pig dogs!
Think I've just worked out where we are.
Get the machine.
Lister and Cat have just got back into the room, only to be led out of it again.
You seriously telling me he's a transvestite?
Yeah.
With those hips?
I think we've lost them.
I can't tell you how feeble and improbable those creatures were, sir. I've seen more convincing dinosaurs given away free with a packet of Wheaty Flakes. There's something wrong here.
Elvis leaps in behind them with a machine gun.
Reach for the sky, boys. Thank you very much.
Let's take it nice and easy. No funny business or I splash your guts around like the communion wine.
Okay, now get moving. Thank you very much.
Which way?
Elvis points.
That way.
They walk off.
What do you think these guys are gonna do to us?
Whatever it takes to find out about the pebble.
Hey, if you mean torture, then say the word torture, I can take it.
Okay, then, they'll torture us.
Wow! Torture us! Wow!
Probably won't, man. They're probably not even interested in the pebble. They'll probably just take us outside and execute us.
You're just saying that to make me feel better. It's just those guys are fiends. They instantly know your weak spots. As soon as they see me, they only have to force me into platform shoes and flared trousers and I'll sing like Tweety Pie.
Dunno what the smack went wrong. Crichton never said anything about the paddle taking us back in time. Just supposed to transport us to the nearest planet with a breathable atmosphere. How the smack did we wind up in the middle of the Third Reach?
What are those guys doing out there?
Building something.
What?
Oh, nothing, nothing. Just a sculpture, you know, a modern art job. The kind you get in shopping malls.
What's it made of?
Wood. It's a sort of inverted L-shaped wood.
Does it have a kind of rope motif?
There's a sort of noose theme to it, yeah.
It's gallows, right? Look, if it's gallows, say it's gallows, I can take it.
Okay, it's gallows.
Wow! They're building a gallows. They're hanging us. Wow!
Look, man, don't panic. We're gonna escape.
How?
Just hijack the guards when they come in, make their uniforms and scroll out.
Are you insane? Do you seriously expect me to wear gray out of season? I'd rather hang.
Hang on, hang on. Something's happening. Some kind of parade or drill, but...
But what?
Hang on. These guys aren't Nazis, they're all wearing different period costumes. There's one looks like Al Capone, there's another like Mussolini, Richard III, Napoleon. Smeg, it's like all the worst people in history have been brought together in one place. Oh my god, there's James Last. I recognize him from Rimmer's record collection.
What are they doing?
Well, just lining up in some kind of firing squad. Wow, wow! Hang on, hang on. Someone's being brought out, they're tying him to a stake. It's Winnie the Pooh.
What?
Winnie the Pooh, I swear. He's refusing the blindfold.
They're tying Winnie the Pooh to a stake?
That's something no one should ever have to see.
Over the sounds of gunshots, the door opens and Lincoln is thrown in the room.
My god, sirs, you may break our bones but you will never break our spirits. Good day, good sirs, the name's Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln.
We switch to a room with four people in it, Einstein, Pythagoras, Stan Laurel and Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn is putting on makeup. Einstein is sitting at a desk. Pythagoras is standing at a blackboard. Stan Laurel is just standing. We have to face facts, the war is lost.
But what are we gonna do?
I don't know. I still feel there's a solution probably involving triangles.
Pythagoras, what is it with you? Always with the triangles, your solution to everything is triangles. There are problems that can't be solved by triangles. Pope Gregory and Elvis enter with Rimmer and Crichton.
Hey, we got some prisoners.
Anybody got a burger? I haven't eaten in 5 minutes. Thank you very much.
Could someone tell me what's going on here?
Who are these people? They're not wax droids.
Wax droids?
Of course. This whole place, the entire complex, is a colossal wax droid theme park.
He looks down at the map.
See prehistoric world? That must be where we materialized, and on either side villain world and hero world.
But I thought wax droids were programmed to repeat a simple sequence of routines over and over again.
Well, they must have broken their programming, and now they're running amok.
You see, we've been left here all alone for millions of years, and...
You see, we learned to break our programs!
And we've been fighting this idiotic feudal war ever since.
A war. Marilyn Monroe, good versus evil, sugar.
Where's the rest of your army? They've all been killed.
All our best warriors are gone. Man, John Wayne, Sir Lancelot, Joan of Arc, Nelson, Wellington. Hell, baby, even Doris Day. They've all died in battle, man.
And you're all that's left. Just a smattering of intellectuals, pacifists, and celebrities.
We number less than 20.
If only we number 21, then at least we could form an equilateral triangle.
Will you shut up already with the triangles? Everything is triangles, you're driving me crazy.
Ah, who do the enemy have?
The cream of evil, Hitler, Napoleon, Mussolini, Caligula, the Boston Strangler, dozens of them.
And we don't even have a leader. We haven't even got a chance.
My god, Crichton, this is my destiny. I was born for this moment.
I'm not sure I'm following you, sir.
Across that valley lies an army of darkness such as mankind has never seen. The only thing between them and total victory is this pathetic pocket of resistance without a leader, without a plan, and into this bleak arena steps a man. The man for the moment.
Who?
Me? Who did you think, Pat Boone? Gentlemen. Ladies. Assemble your troops for inspection at 1500 hours. Together with my valiant adjutant, Crichton, I'm gonna turn you into the meanest, fittest fighting machine that ever graced a battlefield. Come on, Crichton.
I don't want to fight. I might get killed.
While all this has been going on, Lincoln has been talking to Lister and Cat in a prison cell.
And we've been fighting the wax war ever since.
What's the point of this war?
They want our wax so they can melt us down, insert new programs and turn us into their own kind. That's why we're becoming so hopelessly outnumbered.
Two men enter the cell. On your feet, pigs.
Hey, buddy, we just...
Silence, scum. He hits Lister in the face. Do you not sink to your knees and bow in the presence of the Emperor Caligula?
Who is this guy?
I think he was a famous Roman emperor. He slept with his mother, both his sisters, and ended up eating his son.
Hey, a little advice, bud. We all feel peckish after making love, but most of us settle for pizza.
You are an impudent fool. He slaps Lister again.
Dunno who the other one is.
That's Rasputin, the most hated, loathed, and despised man of his era.
This machine, how does it work?
Don't know. If I did, I wouldn't be here.
Very well, if that's the way you want to play it. Rasputin, bring in a bucket of soapy frogs and remove his trousers.
Hang on, it's got something to do with traveling across subspace.
Demonstrate.
Well, like I said, I don't really know.
Very well. Rasputin, bring hither the skin diving suit with the bottom cup up and unleash the rampant wildebeest.
Hang on, I'll try my best. I'll try my best. Just give it here.
Ah, you think I'm insane?
Shall we take a quick vote?
Silence, scum. He slaps Lister, not Cat. Lister turns to Cat, very annoyed.
Shut up.
We will all hold onto it. Everyone holds onto the paddle. Lister, Cat, and Lincoln look at each other. When Lister speaks, the three of them let go.
No.
Only Caligula vanishes.
Come on, let's get out of here.
They leave the cell and are next seen on a field.
This way. If we make good time, we should be back at HQ by sunset.
Meanwhile, they don't know that just after they had gone, the door to the metal cabinet opened and Caligula and Rasputin exited. Rasputin, I'm very cross indeed. Guards! Rimmer and the rest of his log are back at headquarters.
What a challenge! The greatest minds in military history against me. Let's pray they're up to it.
Are you sure your sanity chip is fully screwed in, sir? Have you any conception of what's lining up outside for your inspection?
I'll soon shake them up. By God, I only wish the guys from the IO Amateur Warcomers and recreators of the Battle of Neasden Society could see me now. They'd choke on their pike stuffs.
Elvis enters. Thank you very much, sir, thank you.
As you were, Sergeant Presley.
Guys are outside, sir, awaiting inspection. Thank you very much.
Well done, Presley.
You lead, sir.
Crichton, let's see what we've got, eh?
Outside the headquarters, Einstein, Pythagoras, Stan Laurel, Pope Gregory, and Marilyn Monroe are all lined up.
What's your name, soldier?
His name's Gandhi, sir, Mahatma Gandhi.
Well, get him out of that damn nappy and into a uniform. Have you no pride, man? Don't you want to win this war? Don't eyeball me, Gandhi. Get on the floor and give me 50, no!
They move on down the line.
Teresa, sir, Mother Teresa. Assisi, sir, St. Francis of Assisi.
There's only two kinds from Assisi, steers and queers. Which are you, boy?
Ah, moving hastily on, sir.
They come upon Father Christmas.
What's he doing here?
He was posted here from the fiction section.
Moving on down the line.
The Dalai Lama. Queen Victoria. Mr. Noel Coward. Ah, Monsieur John Paul Sartre, sir.
Who?
He's a philosopher, sir, an existentialist.
Well, Sartre, we don't like existentialists around here, and we certainly don't like French philosophers pouncing around in their black polo necks filling everyone's heads with their theories about the bleakness of existence and absurdity of the cosmos, clear. You're quite the worst bunch of famous historical wax droids I've ever had the misfortune to clap my eyes on. You're a total bloody shambles, and if we're going to win this war, someone is gonna have to turn you into soldiers, and that someone, ladies and gentlemen, is me. Over to you, Crichton. And I'm watching you, Gandhi.
We are tough and we are mean.
Arnie Rimmer's death machine.
All we do is kill and slay.
Don't care if we get blown away.
Back at HQ. Rimmer is in a general's outfit with a tin hat.
You're driving them too hard, sir.
It's my job to drive them hard, Crichton.
Three of them have melted from exhaustion.
Perhaps I have been a bit too tough, but it's for their own good.
You're killing them for their own good.
Look, when they get out on that battlefield, don't they think the enemy are going to try and kill them?
They won't need to. You will have wiped them all out first.
I know what I'm doing, Crichton. We attack tomorrow under cover of daylight.
Daylight, sir.
It's the last thing they'll be expecting, a daylight charge over the minefield.
The what field?
Obviously, I'll have to coordinate things from back here. Now, this is the plan.
Elvis brings in Lister and Cat.
Rimmer.
Thank you very much, sir. People say they know you, sir. Thank you very much.
Listy. Welcome to Command Center.
Rimmer, what's going on out there? Isn't that Mahatma Gandhi? And what's he doing practicing hand-to-hand combat with a nun?
That's not a nun, Listy. That's Lieutenant Colonel Mother Teresa. She's a soldier now.
What are you doing, buddy?
I'm winning this war, that's what I'm doing, buddy. You won't believe what a ragamuffin bunch of lefty, wishy-washy liberals they were before I knocked some good old-fashioned death or glory bloodlust into them.
Rimmer, you've taken a group of holy men and pacifists and turned them into the Dirty Dozen.
Oh, I can't take all the credit. Couldn't have done it without Crichton here.
I'm sorry, sirs, I had no choice. I'm programmed to obey, no matter how psychotic and deranged the human order.
Rimmer, you're gonna get these guys wiped out, they're not soldiers.
He's licked.
With all respect, sir, he's right. I beg you to reconsider.
They're only wax droids.
But Rimmer, they've broken their programming. They're capable of independent thought. That makes them alive, makes them practically people. I'm not gonna let you do it.
Pardon me.
You hurt me. If you can talk them into it, I can talk them out of it.
I see. Sarge Presley.
Thank you very much, sir.
Place these gentlemen under arrest until further notice. If they resist, shoot them.
Reach for the sky, boys. Let me see them under stains.
Come on, Crichton.
Oh, he's been acting strangely ever since we landed here, sir. I think it might have affected his mind when you chewed his light bee.
I'll do more than chew his light bee when we get out of here.
Crichton.
Thank you very much. You've been wonderful prisoners. You really have. In the minefield, we see Arnie's army spread out. Rimmer rides up behind them on a motorbike.
Well, don't know about the enemy, but you certainly scare the hell out of me. Let's get this show on the road.
Company, advance. Arnie's army climb out of a dugout and advance on the enemy, machine guns blazing, everyone in a mad charge.
Crichton, you know what you have to do.
Crichton is standing with Queen Victoria. When Rimmer talks to him, he walks off with Vic.
Let's go, Holly.
Holly is in the headlight of the bike.
Okay, maybe.
The army advance across the minefield, mines explode and we can hear lots of gunfire. Gandhi comes towards us, then he steps on a mine and explodes, leaving only a pair of smoking boots. More scenes of Arnie's army advancing, then we see Lieutenant Colonel Mother Teresa running across the field, yelling, and running straight into a mine and exploding again, leaving smoking boots. Cut to a scene of Rimmer shaking his head. Cut to Santa blasting away with a machine gun. Cut to the Dalai Lama charging across the screen. He also steps on a mine and blows up. His robe floats down. Cut to John Paul Sartre. He gets shot in the chest. All shots produce a white waxy liquid and the shot droid dies. Cut to Francis of Assisi. He also is shot in the chest. Cut to Noel Coward. He is shot in the leg. We see the army advancing and either being shot or blown up. Suddenly we see the source of the shooting. Hitler and his mates are shooting out of the window.
Destroy them. Keep shooting them.
The door opens and Queen Victoria comes in with a machine gun and blasts away at them. They all die, but as he is dying, Hitler shoots Queen Victoria and they both die. Moments after they die, Crichton looks round the door. Seeing them all dead, he enters and pulls out a radio.
Iron Duke. Iron Duke. This is Pawn Sacrifice. Come in, please.
Crichton, how's it going?
I'm in the Third Reach building, minimal resistance. Just as you planned, the decoy charge has drawn their fire.
Okay. Now find the boiler room and hit the thermostat. They'll melt once it hits 100 degrees.
I'm on my way, sir.
Back in the good guys' HQ, Lister and Kaga sitting with their hands tied behind them. Rimmer and Crichton enter.
Victory, gentlemen. The fascists have fallen.
May I untie them now, sir?
Rejoice. We conquer. Victory on Waxworld. It's VW Day.
So you took the HQ, wiped them all out.
To a droid.
It's true, all melted.
What about Arnie's army?
Yeah, how many of them made it back?
There are always casualties in war, gentlemen. Otherwise it wouldn't be war, just be a rather nasty argument with a lot of pushing and shoving.
So how many survived?
Well, we haven't had time to make a full official estimate, but at a rough guess, and obviously this is subject to alteration pending information updates, round about none of them.
So you wiped out the entire population of this planet.
You make it sound so negative, Lister. Don't you see, the deranged menace that once threatened this world is vanquished.
No it isn't, pal. You're still here.
I brought about peace. Peace, freedom and democracy.
Yeah, Rimmer. Right. Absolutely. Now all the corpses that litter that battlefield can just lie there safe under the knowledge that they snuffed it under a flag of peace and can now happily decompose in a land of freedom. Use my head.
There really is no pleasing some people, is there?
Well, at least we got the matter paddle back.
Well, there's nothing to stay here for. Let's get back.
Shouldn't we go out onto the battlefield and bask in the glow of victory?
Holly, give me his light bee. See you, Rimmer.
Lister swallows the light bee.
Sir, what are you thinking of?
It's okay. He'll come up in a couple of days and he'll have been through what he put us through. Does anyone fancy a Vindaloo?
The end.